Good morning. Now this talk, this title is a desire to acquire. It's been going through my head for quite some time, so it's been kind of like yeast. It just keeps wanting to grow, and I have to put a lid on it at some point. But hopefully, it doesn't run over. But we'll see. I want to start off in Exodus, the 20th chapter, verse 2, and go through 5 at first. I am the Lord thy God, which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt, and out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt not have any other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of thy fathers upon the children unto the third and the fourth generation of them that hate me. In verse 15 it says, Thou shalt not steal. Verse 17 says, Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. As you can clearly see, that's the Ten Commandments, portions of the Ten Commandments that I just read, being handed down, and alone there is much God has to say about having a covetous mindset. There is a desire to acquire in the world that we live in. It is a great thing if you acquire a lot. Fame will get you on shows that allow you to show off all that you have acquired before men on TV shows and parties and such. They bring cameras in and show off your house to everybody, and people sit there and watch. Well, boy, I'd love to have all that. It seems as though it is a great thing according to men's standards. It can easily become our mindset as well. And maybe it already has. After all, it seems as if the rich young ruler was struck when Christ pointed it out to him, how much he loved his things. There is a song that is out by a singer named Jake Owen, and it's called What We Ain't Got. And some of the lyrics are fitting, I feel. It states, we all want what we ain't got. We ain't happy where we are. There's greener grass in the neighbor's yard, a bigger house and a faster car. We ain't happy where we are. It is very accurate to the way we are sometimes. What is our feeling, our need to acquire these things that we are so thankful to God for? Is it pride that causes us to be this way? Do we desire to show our things to others so they can say things like, man, I wish I had one of those. Wow, you've got a really cool house. Is that what our goal is when we do these things? If it is, then haven't you put yourself in a position of building yourself up through the praise of others and caused your brother to covet? We all know what God feels about trying to garner the praise of man. God doesn't say acquiring goods is a sin. He did richly bless Abraham and Joseph and Jacob and Job and others with physical wealth that were servants of him. What do we do with the things that we acquire? Are these goods getting in the best of us? Do they consume our goals and our thoughts? Colossians, the 3rd chapter, verse 5, it says, Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is all idolatry. Ephesians 5, verse 5, "For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, or who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." Our inheritance is not with God if our love is for things of the world. Hebrews 13, verse 5, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." We are told to be content. We really have only a few needs, and God satisfies those for us, yet we are yet left wanting more. We desire more. I have a couple things that I like to collect, and some of you do too. I don't necessarily think that that's wrong. That's not what I'm saying. I do think that we need to be concerned over our attitudes over these collections, though. Is everything for sale? If you needed to sell something that has value, would you do that in order to help somebody if you knew that that was a way that you could help them? Or is that off the table? Is there something that you just wouldn't let go for anything? Some material possession. We shouldn't love anything too much. And go to 1 John, the second chapter, verses 15 through 17. It says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not after the Father, but it is of the world. And the world passes away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, verses 10 through 12. "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some covet after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." You may think, why care so much about what the Bible says on everything? We are Christians. And in being Christians, we are bound to Christ. And our actions should be what Christ wants in all things. There is only one way to know what that is, and that is through the written word that we have. And if you go further in that chapter that I was reading, 1 John chapter 2, or 1 Timothy 6, verse 17, it says, "Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth richly all things to enjoy." That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may hold on to eternal life. Now if we go to Mark, the 10th chapter, and go 17, verse 17 through 22. "And he was setting out on a journey, and a man ran up to him and knelt before him and began asking him, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments: do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, and do not defraud. Honor your father and mother." And he said to him, Teacher, I have kept all these things from my youth up. And looking at him, Jesus felt a love for him, and said unto him, "One thing you lack. Go and sell all that you possess, and give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." But at these words, his face fell, and he went away grieved, for he was one who owned much property. We should have no sorrow over these things of earth when they are taken from us. It is a test of God. He wants to see if we can pass being without these things. Is our love for him greater than these things? Then if you go on and read 23 through 30, it says, "And Jesus, looking around, said to his disciples, 'How hard it will be for those who are wealthy to enter into the kingdom of God.' And the disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus answered again and said unto them, 'Children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of God.' And they were even more astonished and said to him, 'Then who can be saved?' Jesus, looking upon them, said, 'With men it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God.' Peter began to say to him, 'Behold, we have left everything and followed you.' Jesus said, 'Truly I say unto you, there is no one who has left house or brother or sisters or mother or father or children or farms for my sake and the gospel's sake, but he shall receive 100 times as much now in the present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and farms, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first.' It is not easy to get into heaven with an attitude of accumulating goods. We need to be wary of these things in our own minds. And if we go over to Luke, the 12th chapter, verses 13 through 21. "And someone in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me.' And he said unto him, 'Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbitrator over you?' And he said to him, 'Beware and be on the guard against every form of greed, for not even when one has abundance does his life consist of his possessions.' And he told him a parable, saying, 'A land of a certain rich man was very productive in it, and he began to reason with himself, saying, "What shall I do, since I have no place to store my crops? He said, "This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build greater ones, and there will I store my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, "Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." But God said unto him, "Thou fool, this very night your soul shall be required of you. And now who will own these things which you have prepared? So is the man who lays up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God." So thankful we have Roger Winnowson to keep us to give us perspective. I remember one of his comments when he remarked once when he was here that even our cars have houses here. We go further into that chapter, verse 22 through 37. It says, "And he said to his disciples, 'For this reason I say unto you, do not be anxious for your life as what you shall eat, nor for your body as what you shall put on. For life is more than food, and the body than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, and they have no store room for their barn, and yet God feeds them. How much more valuable are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add one single cubit to the lifespan? If then you cannot do even a very little thing, why are you anxious about other matters? Consider the lilies, how they grow, and neither toil or spin. But I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory did not clothe himself like one of these. But God did array the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow, and is thrown into the furnace. How much more will he clothe you, O men of little faith? And do you not seek after what you shall eat and what you shall drink, and do not keep worrying? For all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek, but your Father knows that you need these things. But seek after his kingdom, and these things shall be added unto you. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you of the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give it to charity. Make yourselves purses which do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where neither thief comes near nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Trust in God to provide for us. Have faith in him. Give thanks to him in all things. John, the 14th chapter, verse 2 and 3. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Remember Peter, when Jesus told him to walk out on the water, he came out on the water and he was doing just fine. And then he started to look around himself and see the storm around him. And he took his concentration off Christ and he started to get scared. He started to sink. Christ reached down to him when Peter cried out to him. And what did he say? Why did you doubt me? Why do we doubt that God will provide us what we need? Are we as little children sometimes and are worried God will tell us that we can't have something that we really want? Is that our problem? God doesn't see these things that we just have to have the same way that we do. Our pride lifts us up to think that we need these things. 1 Timothy 6:8 says, But if we have food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that be rich fall into temptation and into snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men into destruction and perdition. This is hard for us to accept at times. But think on this. What do we sinful people truly deserve? Christ did go through what us sinful people actually deserve. He took our place. What right do we have to complain? We have a Savior that took our punishment for us. If we turn over to Luke, the 14th chapter, verses 8 through 11. And when you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you may have been invited by him, and he who invited you both shall come and say unto you, Give place to this man, and then in disgrace you proceed to occupy the last place. But when you are invited, go and recline at the last place, so that when the one who has invited you comes, he may say unto you, Friend, move up higher. Then you will have the honor in the sight of all who that are at the table, with you. For everyone who exalteth himself shall be humbled, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And he also went on to say to the one who had invited him, when you have a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and repayment come to you. But when you give a reception, invite the poor and the crippled and the lame and the blind. You will be blessed, since they do not have the means to repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. We are to have an attitude of giving and no thought of reward, inviting those that have no means to pay us back should be our attitude. Isn't that what Christ did for us? Don't give with the hopes of payback coming your way. If you have an ability to do something, then do it without expectations. If you can cook for somebody who is down, do it in Christ's name. But don't ever expect that person to be able to pay you back someday for that. Not everybody has that talent. If you go further in the chapter, verse 33 says, whomsoever of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. In James 2, verse 5, it says, hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him? Also in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 9 through 10, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man these things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth him all things, yea, the deep things of God. God wants us, members of his body, to love and trust him, and not trust in the things that has been made by man. Don't trust in those things. These are corruptible things that are going to be gone someday. Ephesians 1, verse 18, it says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. I think it is easy in this country to get complacent with how well we have it here. We are blessed beyond what we deserve. We need to remember what God wants us to be focused on. And it is not anything with a name brand or that has apps that you can touch and open up or 500 channels or shiny wheels. It is Him. He is our God. That is what we need to trust. If you have found yourself trusting in other things, if you want to trust in God and Jesus as your Savior, and you want to be baptized in His name, you have an opportunity to do that and live a life for Christ. If you have other problems that can be brought forth in front of the church, and those can be, if there can be any way that we can serve you at this time, you have the invitation as we stand and sing the invitation song.